Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and in that other box, he is Andy Asimakis, and he's bringing that swagoo sauce. How are you doing, Andy?
It's raining outside. I'm scared.
It's raining quite a bit.
Came out of nowhere.
The thunder, the lightning, the wind. It is the precursor to tomorrow's hurricane, Andy. Are you excited about the hurricane?
Oh, yeah. Hurricane Acai.
Acai?
Is that what it's called? Are those little bowls of beans? Those breakfast bean bowls?
Yes.
Berries?
That's exactly what that is. So it's so funny watching the news because every meteorologist and every single news anchor says Hurricane Acai. Like, they all pause because they don't know how to say it. And they
right.
just, like, remind themselves how to say it. Or they're, like, reading it phonetically.
Uh-huh.
And they're trying to figure out. Why? Why name it that?
I don't know.
Ishmael.
You couldn't find the better
Isabel.
Name? Right. Indigo.
Igloo. You could have chose anything, folks. Anyway, for those of you that are new here, this is the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show where Andy and I pick out some top stories for you that we want to discuss, and we discuss them for your amusement. Of course, this show records live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams each and every Monday night, sometimes Sundays, but most of the time Mondays, and post every Monday or Tuesday morning for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, podbean.com, and then one day later, it will go up as a video on demand on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. We, ladies and gentlemen, are at 250 subscribers, so if you want to head over to that YouTube channel and help us push to 300 before the end of the month, that would be absolutely fantastic. But that's not the only show we do here. We also do some other shows on this very same channel that you don't have to go anywhere else to listen to them. That's, of course, the Dual Screens Podcast. That's an interview show where we bring on industry guests to tell us their story. It could be a programmer, a voice actor, a solo dev, a brothers team. We do it all. And you can catch those each and every Thursday on this very same channel and, of course, on that same YouTube channel as well. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul. And as little as $1, you get into our VIP Discord and you get a bonus episode in which you vote the topic each and every month. And if you support us at $10, we have a brand new show for you called The Retro Game Club, where we give you a game to vote on. Four choices, you pick one, and then we will play that game throughout the month, and then at the end of the month, record a podcast about that game for your amusement. So please, please consider doing that. It helps the show out tremendously. And of course, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a review. It would really go a long way for us. It helps get us in front of more eyes. The algorithm loves it. I'm going to check right now, see if we got any new ones. We do! Andy, we have a new review.
We have a new review?
Yes, we do.
Oh my God!
See.
Okay, I'm
Let's
like,
see.
I don't
this
check
is coming.
Those. I don't check those ever. So I'm very excited
this
right now.
This is from Lisa Ashley 111. I don't know who this person
okay.
is.
Okay,
this was left on the 1st of August.
Ooh.
So good. Subject line: Great conversationalists. I really vibe with these guys and the topics I'm hearing.
There oh wow! Look at that! Oh my God!
That's a new review. Look at
my
that.
Heart
Thank
has swelled
so
up
Lisa.
A million times. Thank you, Lisa.
We appreciate that very much. All right, now it is time for everybody's favorite future T-shirt: The Adventures in Gaming. Andy, what you been playing?
So a lot of Ghosts of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. I am currently mm-hmm. on Act mm-hmm. Act Two. Which means I progressed some story finally because I did about everything I could in the first act. the whole portion of the land was liberated. Shit got real. There were some plot turns that really got me at some point. I don't want to spoil just yet, but
yeah,
I'm like, oh God, this game is going to break me just like The Last of Us Part 2, isn't it? I foresee it. There was moments that got me. So I played some of that. So I took a break and I played a new game this afternoon for a few hours.
A few hours.
A little game called Grounded on the PC.
Yes.
Yeah via indeed. Game Pass.
Indeed.
That game is cute.
Yeah.
And that game
it's
is
downloaded.
Fun. Cute and fun, but it's very clearly in a what they're calling a preview of the game. Is that this code for early access? Is that what they're saying?
Maybe.
Because I thought it was like a done game. Now it was like a whole, it's still in preview. It's not done yet. It's still not a
I
full,
think it's
complete
because,
game.
Yeah. I think it's because it's one of those. Persistent games. It's one of those games of service.
Right.
So I think it's just going to be perpetually in this state until, you know, I don't know,
right.
a couple of years probably.
Right.
Which is fine. I mean, Sea of Thieves, I guess, is still in early access, right? I think.
Sure. Well, it's in preview. Now it's in preview.
Yeah.
Something is this just like what that platform is just having their games come out. You can have a game release on Game Pass and be in a very unfinished state and just build off it. And hopefully you'll just gain traction and audience and just have it sustained for years. It's a good model, but.
It's a model that works. We know it works.
Sure.
But it was also the most downloaded game on Steam.
It was, which means
people bought it. Mm-hmm. And it was the most streamed game on Twitch when it came out. So it's definitely caught something. I watched a few streams of it. I downloaded it. I haven't jumped in yet. I would love to. Maybe we could do that on Tuesday.
Tuesdays
with Andy and Steve.
It is co-op.
Yeah. Maybe we do it Tuesdays. We get Buzz Killington in there. I know he's been playing it. I know a lot of our listeners are playing it, but I think you could only go up to four players together.
It's super cute. It's a very fun take on a fort building, Minecraft-y kind of gameplay.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't look like it's something that I would particularly like, but I'm down to play with friends. Like, anything is more fun with friends. So.
Right.
As long as I could play with some friends.
Like that Predator game. It's only fun with friends.
Yes, it's definitely only fun with friends. That's 100%. Speaking of playing with friends, Andy, I played a game this weekend. I played it yesterday for the first time, and I got hooked. Its hooks are in me.
Hooks in you?
And that is Rogue Company.
Oh, Rogue Company. You fell for that one, did you?
I did. Oh, now, here's the thing. It looks fun when I was watching a lot of my friends stream it and everything like that. It looked cool. But then getting my hands on it, I did the $15 Founders thing. I was just like, you know what? Why not? It's 15 bucks. It looks cool. I got in there, and I really enjoyed it. Like, it plays really, really well. Controls really, really well. The shooting feels tight. It feels a lot like Fortnite in the way that that you move and you shoot. But you know, in the dodge rolling and stuff like that. But it's a simple fighting over an area, kill the opposing enemy, you know, wipe them out, get, you know, whatever. It just feels good, and it's fast enough, and all the characters have enough unique abilities. And you know, I'm all about unique abilities, because that's what draws me to Apex Legends, is that all the characters have their unique skill set and abilities and play styles. So I really, really enjoyed. I really enjoyed what I played of it, and I can't wait to dive back in. I played, what else did I play? I had it written down, but then I didn't put it in here. I typed it up. I also been playing Ghosts, and I must have put up over 10 hours at this point, probably more, probably, you know, maybe 12. I'm doing a lot of the side. I'm playing it like I play Witcher. There's a question mark. I'm going to go after it, and that's it. There was one part where I said, there's no question marks on the map. There's nothing going on around me. I could go to just like my side missions or whatever. I could complete those. But I was like right in between. There was me here. There was a bunch of fog here, and then a part that I unlocked down here. So I just made like a line between the two spots and just unlocked all that fog and found three more question marks in that little run. So I was like, okay. And that kind of took over about an hour of my night. So I mean, it was definitely, I'm really enjoying the game. Now I remember what game it was that I wanted to mention. Big time game. Fall Guys did another weekend, another free weekend before.
Oh, tomorrow's the big day, dude. I'm so excited for that.
Tomorrow's the big day. Fall Guys, I have a feeling if the games that that we didn't get to play, which they said they only put out 15 games out of the 30 or so in the preview, if the other 15 or so are as fun and engaging and silly as the 15 we already played, I have no problem whatsoever saying that Fall Guys could be in my top 5 for game of the year.
Dude, this game needs to catch on, because I want to get more mini games tacked onto this thing. It has to be successful, because I feel like this game will live and die by its add-ons and adding more mini games to it. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I mean, they already announced that they're doing seasons. So they already have season passes. They're going to do season unlockables. So I have very high hopes for it. I could just tell you this right now, regardless if you're playing by yourself. I mean, it's always an every man for himself game. Except when they pair you up in teams, but you can play with three other friends in your same game, and it's hilarious. It's so much fun doing it, just talking shit to each other, rooting each other on. I did a multi-stream where four of us were streaming at the same time, all playing together. It was a, it was an absolute blast. I had so much fun, and I finally won a crown.
I did it.
You won the crown. I did, and it was, and it's all up on my YouTube channel. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, just search Batchild, and you could see my my highlight video where I show you how I won the crown. It's a lot of fun.
So you you redeemed your PAX East then. You did it.
I did it. I finally did it. And it was fantastic.
So proud of you.
But yeah, so what else have I been playing? Oh yeah. I've been playing a little game called Apex Legends, and now it is time for a minute of Apex Legends. Not much to talk about, Andy. Not much to talk about because I maxed out the battle pass. Mm-hmm. It's done. Mm-hmm. I've unlocked everything I needed to unlock. I still have not gotten an heirloom, which you only get after you open 500 loot boxes. And I thought I must be close to that because I've unlocked so many of those. But no, I'm not there yet. So that's like the only thing I haven't been able to do, but the new season is right around the corner. So I'm looking forward to that. Getting the squad together, Mikey Kirsch. We do have crossplay coming up soon in the fall, so that's going to be fun. But yeah, I mean, Warzone's got its season coming in, I think tomorrow or this week, sometime this week. So that might take over some time. And that has been a minute of Apex Legends. Andy, hit us with some indie news update.
So this is going to be more of a game recommendation and more geared towards you. It's a game I think we should check out as soon as possible. Make for a fun stream game too. It's called Cat Cafe Manager.
I have seen this.
This is a game. you become the owner of a cat cafe, and you got to keep the place running. So you manage your staff, and you adopt cats with different skills and personalities. So I think this game could easily be your game of the year. So forget about Ghosts. Forget about Rogue Company. Forget about Fall Guys.
Let's get the devs on.
And let me just drop the link in the chat so folks can see how amazing this game looks.
Please do.
Yes, it is the ultimate Steve game, Buzz. That's why I thought of it.
Now, what would be great is if instead of going to shelters and like adopting and buying cats, what if you had to like go in the, like to get your first couple of cats, you had to go outside with like a burlap sack in like an alleyway and like catch a cat and then bring it in. It's just like this feral cat inside your store and you have to like,
you know,
not be an asshole.
In the old country, when cats end up in burlap sacks, it wasn't to rescue them or adopt them.
Right.
It was to drown them in the river.
Oh, poor cats.
That's the story like my grandpa once told me.
Oh.
Well, the house cat had kittens, and it's like, well, we can barely feed ourselves, let alone a litter. So a burlap sack happened, and my dad witnessed one of his first of many tragedies growing up.
That's horrible. That's so terrible.
Yeah.
You know what else is terrible, but also kind of cool, and I never thought I would say this. Mm. That's the dual screens reports first story. China is updating. Listen to this. China is updating its real name verification for video games in September. So, essentially, and I'll read a couple of these quotes from GamesIndustry.biz. But essentially, what this means is any player playing an online game is going to have to use their real names when they play online. Now, they say
very authoritarian.
Sure, that's exactly what it, I mean, as because China is doing this, that's exactly what it screams.
Right.
Now, was it EA? Somebody tried to use like real ID. Was it EA? Or was it Blizzard? Some company, Blizzard, that's what it was. Was trying to like your real ID where you put in your real name and then if you share your real ID, PlayStation does it too. I'm of two things. Obviously, this would hold a lot more people accountable for the bullshit and vile, disgusting things they say to each other on the internet. And I'm all for it. Like I think that the anonymity of the internet always breeds shitty people.
It's a shield. It's a shield.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like that 100%, like that would be like my reason for saying, yeah, put your fucking name on it. Don't be a coward. Put your name on it. Right. Now, obviously, a government forcing you to do it is very different than a game, like a publisher,
mm-hmm.
an EA, a Blizzard, a Sony, or, you know, a Microsoft, like whatever. It's very different.
Right, because you can easily say on the China side, it's more like, if you talk against our government, we know your name now, and we will find you, and we will take you out.
Right.
We will expeditiously. Slash your throat.
So Tencent introduced it for its flagship title, Honor of Kings, back in 2018, checking player identities against police records to restrict the amount of time minors spent playing the game. What?
Yeah, it's like an 11 hours time like cap. And
the game has
at nighttime more restrictive as well, I read. That you can't play at night at some point.
It's an 11-hour curfew. Mm-hmm. Curfews overnight. And then they also report that the game has facial recognition system.
That is creepy. That is super creepy.
The SCMP reports some children have already acquired fake IDs to subvert the restrictions, including on child who impersonated his grandfather to customer service.
Alrighty.
Last month, it was revealed that Apple removed more than 15,000 unauthorized games from the mainland China version.
See, now,
the App Store.
What defines an unauthorized game? Really makes you wonder.
I think what it means is that, well, okay,
what's Apple the criteria to fall into that category?
I think that these aren't Apple's requirements. I think they're the Chinese government requirements. Because the way the sentence structure says, it was revealed that Apple removed more than 15,000 unauthorized games from the mainland China version of the App Store. So I think it has to do with China saying, as it enforced a four-year-old law that all titles must have a valid publishing license. So in China, you need a publishing license. In order to get a publishing license, you have to promise that you're going to do these identifications and restrictions. And 15,000 games were published by people who didn't follow those rules. And instead of Apple removing, you know, the Apple store from the China market altogether, they are playing by the Chinese rules, because obviously there's a lot of money to be made.
Right, of course.
It's kind of crazy that, I mean, again, like I said, you know, that we have systems where you could opt in to share your real name. You could share it with your friends. I send real friend requests. I usually send real name friend requests to everyone on my PlayStation list because I forget who everybody is. Like, sometimes I'll see somebody, I'm like, you're just a bunch of X's and underscores, and that might be a zero, it might be a circle, I don't know, an O, rather. I just send it to everybody, but, like, I do think that there is a smattering amount when it comes to video games, I kind of like the idea of everybody having to put their real name to things just to hold them accountable for stuff. But if we could figure out a better, less invasive way of doing that, like IP addresses not being circumvented with VPNs or, you know, whatever, because a lot of the harassment you get online, if you did it to a person in person, you would end up in jail, right? Like, some of the stuff that we see, like some of the threats to people's families. Like, we've gotten threats. Remember when we did
an article? You found one of those people's IP addresses.
Right. So
even I got on one of my, like, it was just like a basic, like, making fun of Xbox. It was like a few years back.
It was like just a pro, like, exclusives. It was like exclusives versus what's going on at Xbox article. And this person basically threatened me and my family and said he would kill my children. So, like, I looked up and he did this on WordPress.
Right.
So, and WordPress records IP addresses of who comments on their stuff, as long as they're not using a VPN. So I traced it back to, like, it was a hotel in Toronto, which could be real, could not be real. I don't know. But either way, scary shit. Like, if that person told me to my face, I'm going to kill your children, I could be like, hello, yes, 911, please arrest this man. I want to press charges of menacing and, you know, violent threats or whatever, and put a restraining order on them. Like, you can't really do that with the anonymity of the internet. But let's be very clear. That is not why China is doing this.
Right. It's ETHET. That's like, and that's their shield. Like, well, we're trying to protect the children and make folks more accountable. It's like, are you? Are you really? I get that, but you're also China, so you harvest organs from people.
Yeah. All right, Andy, hit us up with our second story here. This made a lot of news.
Oh boy! So I love this for one reason, well, two reasons. So apparently there was a rumor over the weekend that Spider-Man was going to be joining the Marvel Avengers game as a PS4 only exclusive character. Mm-hmm. It was a rumor. Then earlier today, I believe it was GameStop that said, no, we've heard nothing about this. This isn't real. Don't pay any attention to this whatsoever. It's not going to happen. And then there was a tweet from the official account saying, hey guys, we're getting Spider-Man for PS4.
Yeah.
So we're getting Spidey on PS4 for Avengers. Not at launch. It'll be a free update in 2021. Mm-hmm. So next year, following the game's release. Mm-hmm. And it's got a lot of butthurt fans. Well, a lot of salt out of this. People are saying that this is, quote unquote, an anti-consumer practice. How we shouldn't have these exclusive characters for different systems. Mm-hmm. To that I say, suck on it. It's how these things work. I love how people say that this is anti-consumer, but it's actually Sony looking out for their own audience and also incentivizing others to get the PS4 version.
Right. It's I've heard a lot of words like I had a discussion with another podcaster and Twitch streamer, MC Fixer, calling it toxic. It's really like, I feel like toxic is a strong word, because toxic I typically reserve for things like hurtful behavior, like something that could hurt another person.
No, you this see thing, now, I want to cut you off, but if let's say they wanted to have Spider-Man in there and Sony was like, nope, we don't want him there, take him out, right. We own that shit, that's toxic.
Right, and obviously we don't know the real reason. I have some theories on it that I'll definitely share in this discussion. Mm-hmm. But for me, this is capitalism. This is exactly what free market capitalism is.
Right.
You have this property. You mm-hmm. have the rights to this property. You have mm-hmm. cash to pay for this property to be in another in a game mm-hmm. exclusive to your thing mm-hmm. because you want people to buy your thing. That's capitalism. That's free market
right.
capitalism.
Right.
A lot of people scream on top of the hills about capitalism, that it's what fuels the American economy. Like, okay, great. This is that explanation to a T. Like, that's exactly what they're doing. They are capitalizing on the fact that they own something that somebody right. else doesn't. The other thing is,
like,
I did a little research.
Well, like they should.
Right. The way I look at it, I did a little research. Spider-Man video game, whatever IP, the character of Spider-Man is not owned by Sony or PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
They own the video game rights. Mm-hmm. They can only make a Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man being in something else mm-hmm. has nothing to do with Sony.
Right.
At least from what I can understand. So this wasn't Sony, saying we'll let you use Spider-Man.
Oh no, of course not.
That's what I think happened here is that they approached them and said, "Would you? We will pay you
mm-hmm.
to add Sony or to add Spider-Man in this game
mm-hmm.
for our console exclusively because we're kind of known as the Spider-Man right. video game because he was right. in Ultimate Alliance,
right?
3,
right?
So we know it's not an exclusive gaming thing."
Right,
so I think they got some cash up and were like, sure. Hey, we want Spider-Man. We want a special version of the game, which other companies do, not even just with characters, but with, maps, getting maps early or getting, a certain location, whatever. This is a practice as old as time at this point.
Right. But again, to folks who do the actual homework and their due diligence, you can find out easily. But most folks, the perception is if you want Spider-Man, you have to go Sony. And that's a smart move for them to have that perception.
Right.
So again, I think it's a really smart move on their behalf, marketing wise. And I think it's going to push a lot more towards PS4 than many think.
Right.
It's fucking Spider-Man. I wouldn't.
The whole argument against capitalism in general, obviously, is another conversation, another can of worms that...
Well, I'm not
qualified to really speak about, but what I can, like, I know the downfalls of capitalism too. It's very, the topper at the top and everybody else has to really struggle to get up there. But when you get up there, it's like you fight and push everyone down to stay there. It's a very dog eat dog, very vicious environment to thrive in as a provider of service.
Right, but we can also say, look what we have with Game Pass and all those studios that Microsoft has purchased. They've now been fully funded. They've been fully funded. So we have that's a plus for us as a consumer. We get all this content at a very low cost of entry.
Exactly.
So again, that's competition in the market.
Competition breeds ingenuity and innovation.
Exactly.
And that's what we got throughout all of this whole generation with Microsoft. That's all they had. They were like, okay, let's stop getting our dicks kicked in. Let's change the game. Let's change what it means to be a game publisher and a console manufacturer.
Right.
Here's how we could reinvent this for ourselves. Great. They cut a nice little niche in the market. They had their own little piece of the pie now. That's arguably not necessarily as bigger, but it's definitely I would say louder, more important at this point.
And there's a market for that. Listen, just like the Nintendo Switch, they didn't do well with the Wii U. Like, how can we marry what we do best, a portable console, with the home system? And they adapted as well for that market, and that blew up. So again, capitalism, it works when you're trying to compete and think about how I can deliver the best service or product to a consumer. Because at the end of the day, they're fighting for our money at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it.
And that's what it comes down to. So it's like, hey, we want to give our consumers, PlayStation wants to give their consumers a better product. So they're going to use their muscle and their money to give something that other people don't have so that they strengthen their consumers. Now, whether you could say that's I still don't think toxic is the word.
That's a little
it's
bit too
advantageous
harsh. Again,
and it sucks for people who don't have PlayStation. I think
true.
that practice does suck when you're on the losing end of it, of course.
Right.
But let's not forget, we don't know what Xbox did. We don't know if they have something in the cards here. I would not be shocked if Wolverine is announced as their exclusive character for 2021.
To that point, I think they would announce it on the same day, just to kind of like, no, that's all the headlines now. This announcement. It's like, if you had something in the works, at least announce it on the same day or close to it.
Well, they have something coming out soon, right?
Right.
They have an Inside Xbox coming out in a few weeks, I believe.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
They'll probably do something there.
Right.
Speaking of Sony and consumer shittiness and all that fun stuff.
consumer shittiness.
this is coming from GamesIndustry.biz. The DualShock 4 controllers will not work with PlayStation 5 games, but they will work with PS4 games, obviously, on PS5. So the original story here, there was an update, but we're going to get to that. The original story was that the PlayStation 4 first-party controller, DualShock 4, will be compatible with the PlayStation 5, but only for supported PS4 games, according to Sony. In a blog post today, Sony outlined how accessory and peripheral compatibility would work with PS5, most notably saying that the DualShock 4 and officially licensed third-party gamepads will work with supported PS4 games, not with PS5 games, saying that they believed PS4 titles should, quote, take advantage of new capabilities. PS5 titles should take advantage of new capabilities and features we're bringing to the platform, including the DualSense controllers and the control scheme. To me, that makes sense. Obviously, the controllers are different. They offer different things. What's interesting, though, that they don't say, specialty peripherals such as licensed racing wheels, arcade sticks, will both work with PS4 or PS5. What they don't say here, which is interesting, is whether or not the DualSense will work with PS4 games. I feel like it would, because it has the touchpad. That's really the only thing that the DualShock 4 has that's unique, aside from the adaptive controllers and stuff, or the adaptive triggers.
Well,
so I wonder if you could use that. But
here's the thing that I find a little alarming. It's when you read to the PR speak, it's you can use your PS4 controller on a PS5, but only for supported PS4 games. What does that mean?
They always say supported.
Is that like a distinct classification?
100 games. No, that's the. Every game needs
or
to
the
be
one,
supported
the
for
games,
PS5.
The games that will work on PS4 on the PS5. I'm sorry.
That's what they mean.
Okay.
It's poorly worded, but I think that's exactly what they mean, because they use the same jargon when they spoke about the quote-unquote backwards compatible or forward compatible, whatever you fucking call it.
And also,
games.
Also, this kind of blows out your thing about a Microsoft exclusive or an Xbox Avengers character. Not too long after this report came out, Xbox was quick to say that all their stuff will work on the Series X. They can't miss a chance. Well, so again, if there was something there with the Avengers thing, we would have heard about it today, because Microsoft, they always leave with a chance to be like, yeah, well, we can do it better. We're over here doing our thing.
But the thing is that could be something that, because Sony had information about Spider-Man, there might not be information about Wolverine yet. Like,
they, I don't know. I feel like
Crystal Dynamics might not be ready to tell anybody.
They wouldn't miss a chance to brag about it. What are you waiting for? The game's out pretty soon. What's the big secret?
The one thing I want to say, you know, Microsoft could throw shade all they want about their controllers.
That's all
their controllers
didn't
innovate. They haven't changed. Their controllers have been the same since fucking the, you know.
Hey, they have that adaptive one, though. It's pretty good.
Yes, but the adaptive one is adaptive on purpose. Like, that's its goal is to do that forever. But yeah, their controller, like this controller right here, is a 360 controller, and here it is working on my PC. They haven't innovated. They haven't changed this controller. You know, nothing new.
It really makes you think what PS5 games will play like. Like, how much of a game changer is this controller?
I don't think it matters. I think it's just they don't want to take features away that they're advertising. That's my right. My guess is, like, if
so
they're saying,
here's,
yeah, go ahead.
Here's what I'm confused about. So you can't use your PS4 controller on PS5 games, correct? This is the whole thesis here.
Right.
When you buy a PS5, it comes with one controller.
Right.
So you're good for that.
Buy another one.
How many more do you need in your house? One more?
I couldn't use my DualShock 3 on my PS4.
Right, but we just got to get one more controller?
Yeah. That's what I did when I bought my PS3. It's what I did when I bought my PS4. It's what I did when I bought my PS2. I always buy a second controller.
You can have friends over in COVID times. Were you crazy?
I always buy a second controller. Always. I always buy a second controller. I want one to swap out when one dies. Always.
Right.
Always. 360. Super Nintendo came with two, right?
Don't know. Maybe?
I think NES and SNES came with two, but 64 only came with one.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm going to buy another fucking controller. This doesn't bother me at all.
We should circle back when the price of each controller is announced. I think that's the key
factor
here.
It'll be $80.
$80
for a controller. It's going to be $80. Absolutely, 100%. It's going to be $80.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be $80.
All right.
Speaking of Sony and PS4.
They're, like, all over the news today. They were trending on Twitter for a long time. They were just firing on different cylinders. So the long-rumored State of Play for August was confirmed today, coming August 6th.
Oh my.
A whopping 40-minute long State of Play, which will be centered on, as per Sony, third-party published games coming to PS4 and PSVR.
Oh, thank God.
And a few PS5 game updates that were shown during the PS5 showcase in June.
In other words, calm the fuck down.
Wait, hold on. And they even said, and just to be clear, there will be no PlayStation Studios updates in Thursday's episode. So no, even the Twitter account said, no big PS5 announcements. No hardware pricing, no pre-order dates, none of that.
So chill the fuck out.
So
everybody calm down.
I hear that my long fabled and rumored Silent Hill reboot will be announced on this Thursday. That's how I perceive this, Steven. Dude, if you were on the threads that I follow for this fucking rumor, it's like the soul was crushed. And the amount of mental gymnastics, it's like, well, you know, it could happen next month. I'm like, no, guys, please.
They could just be saying that, you guys, they could surprise you.
I feel like that thread that I'm following right now on Reset Era is a literal Silent Hill. It is a hell people have made for themselves. It's full of torment and sadness. So this is great. We're going to get 40 minutes of PS4 games from third-party publishers. Makes you wonder, what are they going to pack in 40 minutes? We're going to see Bugstacks, obviously.
Bugsnax is happening.
We're going to see some more of Oddworld, I think.
They said third party, right?
Right.
So we're probably going to get some sort of Avengers. Maybe we'll see.
Right. Some Spider-Man action.
More of Spider-Man.
I hope we see more of that. What was it from the PS5 showcase? That Ratchet Project Atheia. No, that's first party. I don't think they'll show that.
Did oh, they said specifically only third-party yes. PS5? Because I heard PS5 in there.
Yeah.
A follow-up on PS5 titles. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah.
I think we'll see some of that. I think we'll see... What else was third-party in that
What about
stream?
that Pikmin-like one the with the chip?
Oh, yeah. Something of Kino?
Something like that.
I forget the full title of that.
That one, I want to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Show me more of that game.
Oh, and that Capcom game that we thought was Death Stranding 2.
Right.
What was
it? give us more of that.
Pragmata or some shit like that?
Give us more of that that cat game, too.
Oh, Stray.
Stray, mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me some more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting little piece of news, Andy.
Mm.
Halo Infinite multiplayer is going to be free to play.
Yes, and at 120 FPS.
Yes.
Well, look at that.
Yes. It's easy to do that when your graphics look like a potato. Halo Infinite's multiplayer mode will be free to play, Microsoft has confirmed. The company made the announcement ahead of its apparent schedule after details were leaked by the Irish toy retailer Smith's Toy Superstores. In a since-deleted blog post spotted by The Verge, Smith's teased a groundbreaking free-to-play multiplayer experience. Microsoft confirmed that detail in a tweet on July 31st, stating Halo is for everyone. Microsoft promised more details in the future, and there is a great deal more to learn about how Halo multiplayer will function and monetize as free-to-play service. Obviously, this is huge. Some would say that the reason to buy Halo is for its multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people get obsessed with Halo's multiplayer.
That's why I bought it back in the day.
Very interesting that they're making a calculated decision thinking they are more probable to make more money if it's free than if they sold the game. And that makes sense given the whole Game Pass and like all that stuff. Like, I would say a majority of their audience is getting this game for free anyway. Mm-hmm. So if they make the multiplayer free to anyone, they got a much bigger base in there and could eventually monetize and microtransaction the shit out of people and potentially make a ton of money.
So, just so I'm correct here, there's no like standalone multiplayer version that's we were talking about. It's if you're playing online, you can play without a subscription. That's the free to play? Or is it a standalone version of the game that's multiplayer only? That's what's being free?
No, because the way it says is that it's going to. The superstore said a groundbreaking free to play multiplayer experience. So the way I interpret that is that it's going to be like Call of Duty Warzone is free, but then it would be like also the other multiplayer is also free, but the single player is paid for.
Mm-hmm.
The campaign, like that. That's kind of like what I like exactly like Fortnite, as Buzz just said in the chat.
Right.
Fortnite. The hell is it called? Fortnite. What's the real game?
Or like Destiny, you know.
No, because Destiny was a paid game.
Well, I'm saying the way it is now, I'm saying it's free to play.
Well, no, because the game has a campaign
that right,
is going to be free as well. Right. I'm talking about Fortnite Save the World is the single-player version of Fortnite that you pay $20, $30 mm-hmm, for, mm-hmm. And then they came out with the Fortnite Battle Royale that was right. free.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's kind of like what I'm looking at. It's probably going to be, I don't know if it's going to be all of the multiplayer. I have a feeling it's going to be a Battle Royale, a Halo Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be free. They'll microtransaction the shit out of it. And I think that's what it'll be. And then their regular multiplayer will be lumped in with their single player like they do for normal Halo. That's what I think. Either way, I think this is super smart for them because mm-hmm. so many people are going to be playing this game for free anyway.
Right.
You might as well pack in as many different ways, whether it's a battle pass, since Xbox Live Gold is dead, you know, getting another way of getting people, monetizing people, costumes, again, I said battle passes, but weapons, maps, whatever it will be. There's tons of ways that you can do that.
Like how Fortnite does.
Exactly how Fortnite does. Fortnite kind of paved the way. I know other places were kind of doing that already, but Fortnite kind of perfected it, and now other companies are coming in and kind of making their own little twist on it. The final story here, Andy, is just a little cherry on top of the next gen pie here. You want to take this one?
All right. So we heard a while back that our good friends Take-Two were going to be charging $70 mm-hmm. for NBA 2K21, and it was justified in this next gen pricing.
Right.
Well, they've since doubled down on this in a recent interview with GameIndustry.biz, which is all over the place lately, I want to say, in the news cycle. They're just getting all the hits, it seems. So
they're doing it.
Here's the quote. There hasn't been a price increase for frontline titles for a really long time, despite the fact that it costs a great deal more to make those titles. And we think with the value we offer customers and the kind of experience you can only have on these next generation consoles, and the price is justified. Now, Piotr says that pricing will be on a title by title basis. So even though they have this price for this game, if a Borderlands 4 came out, maybe it won't be $70, which I highly doubt. Now, he gives a reason for this. He says that there's better quality and they cost more to make, which is fine. But I want to know, how much quality do you put in an annual game? And what exactly are we getting that's worth $10 more, in your opinion, Mr. Zelnick of 2K?
I assume they're going to have to tell us soon, because these games come out in August, right?
Right.
September. Like, we're going to know shortly. Maybe they get away with not telling us right away because the new consoles don't even have prices yet.
But listen, these are annual games with incremental improvements, to say the least. I mean,
well, this one isn't, though. At least,
do we know that?
Well, here's the thing.
Just spell it out for me.
They already said in the last time they spoke about this, they said that there are major differences between current gen and next gen, and it's not just visually. Like, they said that the game is different. It's not the same game just ported.
Well,
so
you got to expand.
That's
on
great.
That.
They do eventually. What I'm... Games should be $70 or $80 anyway, so I don't give a shit. Charge whatever you want. It's just going to make me pick and choose what games I buy a little bit more stringently. Strictly.
Right, listen, I feel like most of us don't care about the pricing. We expect the price increase at some point. It's been, you know, it's been a while since we've had
two
it.
Decades.
And things are... Again, things are getting, you know, pricier to produce, and big budget games are coming out left and right. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't like this weird, like, PR talk. Like, just tell me exactly why you feel, besides just saying things that kind of make sense. Like, yeah, it's next gen. Great. It costs more. Sure. Okay, great. But what exactly are you putting in this game that makes it, in your opinion, worth $10 more than what a current gen offering is?
Yeah. Just maybe even just licensing.
Look,
these,
just be more transparent. $10 for transparency. That's fine. Listen, fans will pay for it. And I'm not
just saying it costs more money to make games, and
right,
it's time that we charge more. Thank you for coming to our TED talk. Don't buy our game if you don't want to spend $10 extra. You're going to spend $150.
But you know what, dude,
this is also when
you hear about quality and improvements, these guys released one of the most bug-ridden, unplayable games ever created on the Switch.
WWE, baby.
So if you're going to have this conversation, if you're going to say that it's going to cost $10 more and you want me to swallow that pill, tell me why exactly you're making me swallow it. Don't just say I have to eat it.
Yeah. Speaking of swallowing it, Andy, what's the hype zone?
I don't know this week.
I don't have a hype zone.
Wait, there may have been some. There may have been some in our Facebook chat with Buzz Killington. He's always good about that kind of stuff.
Let's
do a quick perusal.
Always giving us bullshit to talk about. I'm right there with you. I'm checking with you. Here's a little bit of news. Monster Hunter World has shipped 16 million units. We could touch on that. Congratulations to you.
This is a good one. The Microsoft Flight Simulator. The most visited place is going to be North Korea.
Awesome. Wonder what that looks like.
It's just a giant flame.
Do you think North Korea knows that we have things in space that could look at
them? Oh, you know, I don't think so. That's probably, it's like, what is that? Fucking science fiction movie? What is that? Planet of the Apes? Fucking 2000 Leagues Under the Sea? That's not real.
I don't know.
That's fake.
I don't know. Another bit of news here is that the Koopa Troopa variants are coming to Mario Tennis.
Oh, boy.
And hashtag, where is the DLC for Mario Party?
Never going to happen.
So I was saying this earlier. It has to be that they have data on that, right? Like, they have to know nobody... Not enough people were actually playing Mario Party for it to be worth them giving a paid DLC option.
Right. I think a lot of purchases when it first came out, but I don't know. Look at Mario Kart, Splatoon.
A steep jumping off the cliff. My shoe came off. Yeah. And my tongue just went right into the front of my shoe, so I got to fix that. Sorry, listeners. Doing the thing.
Yeah, that's sad. But I mean, listen, we got Fall Guys now to kind of take us in a much better place.
So excited. Okay, so I'm just going to go into the chat. Chat, if you have anything you want to add to the show, any questions you want us to answer, or if you want to submit any articles, we do have points in the chat that you could use to submit articles. Buzz Killington does say, fun fact that I learned from Flight Sim video, from that Flight Sim video, North Korea has the world's largest capacity stadium. Almost 150,000 people.
What are they watching in that stadium? Executions? Live? Because that would draw a crowd.
They're watching...
That's like fucking Colosseum level right there.
I don't even know at this point.
Fucking ancient Rome type shit.
At this point, I really don't know. I couldn't scroll all the way up in the chat because I had to refresh the chat because I got stuck before, unfortunately.
Resident Evil 3 numbers. What, 2.5 million? Was also in the news cycle today. That was a little lower than I expected. But then again, that game isn't the best. So maybe it kind of makes sense after all. Another game I'd like to see also on the State of Play. Resident Evil 8. Let's see more of that. That's third party.
That could be, that probably would be coming out in February, right? January.
That's January next year, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, January. That could be good.
You know, I love that. I love that. January is like the dumping ground for the worst of the worst horror movies, but we're getting really great horror games in January. So I love that. I love that dichotomy that's happening there.
Buzz Killington has submitted
a
news story on our chat. This comes from Kotaku. The Analog Pocket pre-orders sold out immediately, leaving many disappointed. So the Analog Pocket is that, I guess, that little...
Oh, I've seen this thing, yeah.
Retro game player.
It's a good game.
Sold
boy,
out in
basically.
15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sold out in 15 fucking minutes, dude. That is crazy. It looks beautiful, though.
Ooh, the cutting-edge 1600 by 1440 display, built-in support.
Yeah.
Wow.
For
Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance, and adapters for Game Gear, Neo Geo Pocket, and Atari Lynx.
Yeah, they snap up top, yeah.
The Cadillac of retro handhelds.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. All right, you got to look on eBay. That's what you got to do.
Ugh. eBay's scary.
You know, this could be a fun guest to get on the show. Be a fun
yes
guest.
Talk about
you
that
yeah why
fucking
not
nerd you huge fucking nerd
yeah why the fuck not let's do this
get on here and talk about your shit and let's why do you don't
this.
Have any
it's
of them.
Right.
why didn't you supply and demand didn't you learn nothing from Nintendo
can you send this one for a Steven first yeah. play I'm sure he'd get the love the shit out of that
I will trade you a lot of things for
all of my things
it's gonna be worth like $4,000 those things are gonna be real expensive Andy
oh yeah
You're technically while we're podcasting, you're over here.
Yes.
What's going on, Andy? How are you?
I'm doing great.
It's me.
Here's
a story. Oh, like look to your right.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Yeah, that's where I'm right over there.
How you doing?
That's cool.
You know, you're a great guy. I like you a lot.
I like you a lot.
I like your hats.
Listen to this bullshit.
I like your face.
Buzz Killington submits another story.
Oh boy.
This time it's about televisions. But he says it's kind of game related. TCL is to launch the world's first television with THX certified game mode.
Okay.
I have a TCL. They're super cheap.
That's kind of hype.
And they're actually pretty good. I like it a lot. So the 6 series TCL Roku TV That's their gaming TV. Together, TCL and THX have established a new industry standard in gaming performance for big screen TVs. THX Certified Gaming Mode. Showcased at the 2020 International Consumer Electronics Show, CES, TCL 6 Series with THX Certified Game Mode delivers lightning-fast response time and the most optimal viewing experience, allowing games to be enjoyed the way they were intended by the creators, with rich, vibrant colors and dramatic contrast in crisp 4K HDR resolution. And it also going to have 120 hertz.
That sounds very next gen to me.
Next gen, baby. Fire it up. Fire it up. I like my TCL. It's a good TV. It's a good TV. Andy.
Steven.
We got nothing in the mailbag. Did you get any emails?
No. I think we're good to go. I think the show. Wow.
It's a crisp show.
Very crisp.
A crisp show. To the point. Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Very quick show.
Listen, I'm sure we'll have much more to discuss this coming week after Sony State of Play on Thursday, which if you're up for a live stream, I'm down.
When is it?
I believe it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, Thursday at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we could do it.
Yeah, why not?
We didn't live stream the Xbox one because I couldn't.
You could watch me in real time, expect Silent Hill, and then it not happen, and I can cry over live stream for the whole audience of 5 people.
The whole audience. That's how we do it. That's how we do. All right, folks, that is going to bring us to the end of the show. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at NDS Podcast. I am at BatChild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. Follow our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our YouTube channel, give us a sub and a thumbs up and a comment below at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Thank you, Zazu Pitts, for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Matt Murray, for our overlay and logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our fancy cartoon art. And you can follow him at Angimoto, A-N-G-I-M-O-T-O. If you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS Podcast. Thank you to our Patreon producers, FNH Paul and Colton, the Apprentice Nestler. And if you want to buy some Dual Screens merch, go to dualscreens.com/store. Andy.
Steven.
Is there anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
I love you all. You're the best that ever will be. Thanks for listening. And until next time. Stay sexy and don't get murdered with the wrong podcast.
And as always, please be excellent to each other.